Today's daf from Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Dalet, and we are at the Halakha Mishnah. So, the Halakha Mishnah begins, Hevil lefanav maliach techila. Now, how about if the order, now there's different ways to understand really this Mishnah, because the Mishnah has two parts. So, what it seems to be saying is that if you start off the meal eating the thing which is not bread, even though it seems to be tofel to the bread, you can't say, I'll eat it without a brocha, and the pot will potter it. I'll just make a brocha on the pot. Because you're not about to eat the pot. You're only eating the pot because of the fact that you're eating something else. So in this case, they brought something salted. We're going to ask what that is. And then pot imo, you bring also bread to be eaten after. What you do over there is you dafka do it the other direction, that you make the brocha on the salted thing, and that potters the pot because the pot feilalo. Now, this seems to mix up two different issues. One is the order, and the other is the din of ikar v'tafel, which is what I was going to ask. How in the world would you have pot that would be tafel to something salted? That's weird. Zakla, kol shehu ikar, so anything which is an ikar, is bottled to the tefela. So let me just get the video here fixed. Nu? Koshu ikar. So this happens to have halakhic implications. The halakhic implications is that indeed there's the question would be over here whether any time that you eat something in a different order, you're not going to be able to potter, even though it isn't an ikar and a tafel. But since the Mishnah ends with the klal, zeh klal kol shehu ikar v'imo tefela, mevorech ala ikar poter et hatefela, mashma that din is also true, and that somehow or other, there could be a case in which something salty is actually the bracha that would potter the bread, which like, wow, when is that? Ask the Gemara, mi'ika mi'ir avi maliach ikar pat tefela? There's such a thing? That the pot is secondary, Omer Vachbred Ravira, Omer Ravashi? Yes. If you're talking about Maliach in the way that the people will eat, the Perot of Ginosar, the Perot of Ginosar were so incredibly sugary that they would have to salt them just in order to be able to eat them because they like completely, well, see, they completely drove you nuts from the amount of sugar. So because of that, the pot is only eaten over there in order to absorb some of the salt, because otherwise you get so much salt into your system, it won't be good for your kidneys. So, Amar Rabba Bar Chanina, yeah, let me tell you, we used to go collect Perot Ginosar ourselves, and we went picking. And when we went a picking for Rabbi Yochanan, and we would actually go in back of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, like, was wild over Perot Ginosar. And he would go, and we would go a picking with him. And, of course, Reish Lakish would come also, of course, but Rabbi Yochanan was going. So if we had 100 guys that were coming together with Rabbi Yochanan, so everyone would take at least 10, right? So we had 10, which would mean that we had 1,000 of these perot. And if there were only 10 of us, then each one would take 100. But we always had to get a minimum of 1,000, you know? And then each one, you should know how big these fruits were. I mean, this is not portion. Every 100 of these fruits, chol meim v'nayav yimachzu k'tzana batlata save. You would need a basket of 3 saw to hold them. So then that means the total was over 4,000 beitzim that you're talking about over here. And Rabbi Yochanan would eat them all. And he would say, damn, I don't think I had a taste of food. Woo. Mishtabai would swear the low times a unit. What do you mean? Ziyune? What do you mean no food? I mean, you can't say any food. That's ridiculous. Yunisakadaitak. No, I mean, I didn't have any solid food. Mizona. There was nothing sustaining. All I ate was sugar. My God, I was like such a sugar addict. Rabbi Abu, he was one of these guys. He used to eat so much of this stuff that he would start like just sweating oil from and dvash, and a fly that would land on his forehead would slip right off. Rabami and Ravasi would eat so much that their hair fell out. Reish Lakish, of course, would always go wild. So Reish Lakish would eat so much that he flipped. Now, when Reish Lakish flips, remember, I mean, you're dealing with a very serious, powerful guy, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia. So they had to send a whole troop of policemen after him to try to haul him down tie him up and drag him home until he got back under control. So Rabbi Yochanan would have to send to the Bein Hasia, who would contact the police, and they would send a whole Balushi Abatra, a whole troop of sheriffs to go with a net and to capture him, tie him up, and drag him back home until he came back to his senses. So Mati elevated. When Rav Dimi came from Bovel, he said, you should know that there was an Irachat Aitalo, to Bovel, I mean, to Irachat Aitalo Liyanai HaMelech BaHaramelech. There was an area called HaRamelech in Yehuda, which I'm sure Barnea was there today in his neighborhood. They had so many pickers, itinerant pickers, that the food for the itinerant pickers was required 600,000 tuna fish sandwiches in order just to feed the Kotzei Ta'anim for a week. The Kotzei Ta'anim, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. You can imagine how many figs there were, if that's how many sandwiches they needed to feed the itinerant pickers during the season. Giyata Ravin, when Ravin came to Bavel, he said, Yanai HaMelech had a single tree, in which there were these pigeons that used to roost over there. They would three times a month, they would be able to have 40 saw of newly hatched pigeons every single month from that single tree. When Rabbi Yitzchak came to Bavel, he said, Yerachat Haita Be'eretz Yisrael. The name of the town was Gufnit, and there were 80 pairs, amazing, of brothers who were Kohanim, who had married 80 pairs of sisters who were Kohanot, which is absolutely crazy. So they had this city that was like the creme de la creme of the Yichus. So the Rabbanan in Bavel wanted to know if there was anything similar in Bavel. So they did a census, and they looked from Sura until Narda, which was like the main settlement in Bavel, and they could not find a single case that was like that. They found something like it, which was Benati. The Rav Chista's daughters, who were Kohanot, they were married to two brothers. So they were married to Romi Bar Choma and to Mar Ukva Bar Choma, but the males were not Kohanim. So Avagav the Ini Avikahanta, even though there was brothers, the brothers marrying the two sisters, Fapike, and it wasn't similar even to this case, because even though the girls were Kohanot, the boys weren't. Omar Rav, I could tell you, many of the Girsi Maliach, because that way it follows the Mishnah, if a meal doesn't have some nice salty stuff, I don't call that a meal. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Rava, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I don't call a meal without some good soup a meal. All right, Sir Richard, what do you call a meal? Where is Sir Richard? Oh, my gosh. Looks like Doc is going to have to take over even though he's in the middle of driving. Can you do that safely, Doc, or do you have to pull over?
Good. Doc, any commissioner.
I love it. Okay. Ochal anavim uteinim v'rimonim. Suppose you eat grapes, figs, pomegranates, or any of the Shivas HaMinim, Mevorech Achareim, Sholosh Brachot, you say a full Birkat HaMazon afterwards. So holds Rabbi Gamaliel. The Chachomim say, no, you only say a Brocha Achat Me'en Sholosh, which is the Al HaPerot, similar to the Al HaMichya. Rabbi Akiva Omer, there's no such thing as being dependent on Shivas HaMinim, gentlemen. Anything that you eat, I don't care if it's only a stew. You can eat a stew, but that's what you're eating to provide your full meal. You have to say Birkat HaMazon. Mevorech Alav, Shalosh Brachot. What's the din of drinking Mayim when you're thirsty? You're drinking water for thirst. The Gemara is going to ask, as opposed to what? So then you say a Shahako. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, the Bracha on water, the first Bracha, not the last Bracha, is Borei Nefashot Rabot V'Chesronan. So why does Rabbi Gamliel hold that you say a full Birkat HaMazon on any of the Shivas HaMinim? Because it says, Eretz Chita Sora, and then it says, Eretz Asher Lo B'Miskenut Ochal B'Lechem, and then it says, these are three psukim in order, Ve'achalta V'Savata V'Rachta Hashem Elokecha. So that means that all of those things flow into Achalta V'Rachta, Savata V'Rachta, which is the three mitzvahs of Birkat HaMazon. And what did Rabbanan, how did they explain that? They say it's obviously not true, because if that were the case, Why do I need the word Eretz Asher Lo B'Miskinuto Chabalechem? It should simply say Eretz Chita Se'oretz, so on and so forth, Asher Lo B'Miskinuto Chabalechem. If it said Eretz again, then that means it's mafsik between the first list of the Shivas Haminim and the second pasuk, which is about bread. In which case, only the second pasuk is mechuber to the third pasuk, which is the Vi'achat V'Savat V'Erachta. Very good point. So, what did the Rabbanan say? That Eretz Yivsika Inyan. Rav Gamliel, what does Rav Gamliel do with the fact that Eretz Yivsika Inyan? He says that it's not coming to me mafsik. It's coming to tell me that even though I said before chita, and that would mean that if you stomp chew on a raw chita, that you would also have to say the bracha avachat v'savat v'erachta, Talmud Lomar, therefore, it says Eretz in order to say, well, wait a minute, the Eretz, aforementioned Eretz of Chita, I mean, Asher Lo B'Miskinuto Chabalechem, I mean, so it has to be eaten in the normal way and that you would eat it, which is to make bread out of it or to make cake out of it, but otherwise, if you just go Seset HaChita, forget it, that's not Mechayev Yom Birkat HaMazon. Om Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Om Rabbi Chanina, you should know that any type of food that is made out of the Chamesh Esminei Dagon, you say a bari minei mizonos at the beginning, and you say a bracha me'achas bein shalosh at the end, unless, of course, you made it into bread. But otherwise, any other type of food, cereals or cakes or whatever, is the way we do, mizonos followed by an alamichya. Omer Rabba Bar Mori, Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol shu mishivat aminim, any food that is one of the shivas aminim, in this case, it's one of the fruits of the Shivas Haminim, obviously the grains are not included in this, but Chilam of Bari Priya Eitz, you start with a Bari Priya Eitz, and as we do, at the end you say a Barucha Achas Me'in Shalash, which is consistent with the Rabbanan in our Mishnah. Omer La Abayel Rav Dimi. What exactly, how do we say this Barucha Achas Me'in Shalash? What is it? Because, I mean, you said it on different things. How does it go for the different things? Omer La, well, if you're eating Peirot, so you say Baruch Atah Hashem, Ala Eitz Val Priya Eitz, and so on, Ve'al Tu Vata Sadeh, Ve'al Eretz Chemda, Tovarach Avashin Chata Lavotenu Lecho, Mepi Yav Lizboa Mituvarach, Em Hashem Elokeinu Ha'Yisrael Amecha, Ve'al Yerushalayim Irecha, Ve'al Migdashcha, Ve'al Mizbechecha, Ve'tivnei Yerushalayim Irkochecha, B'mira V'yamenu, Ve'ha'aleinu Letocha, Ve'samchenu Ba, which is not exactly what we do, I love our Girsa, which is a Samchenu B'vinyana, which means even if we're not zochet to see the full established Yerushalayim, but we just see the process of Bivinyana, that is an amazing simcha. Ki ata tov u'meitiv lakol. And what about if it was chameshes haminim of grain? So then you would say, al ha'michya ve'al ha'kalkala ve'al tenuvat ha'sadeh, and then you would close with al ha'aretz ve'al ha'michya. Yeah, but you didn't tell me how I closed on the other one. How do I close on the fruits? So, Ki Atar of Dimi Omar, what's the question? Isn't it obvious? It's not. Why? Because Rav, when it came to making a bracha on the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, he would say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodeshim, which is what we do. So then that means that even though normally you don't say two different things, a bracha has to be focused on one issue, but to say Yisrael with the Rosh Chodeshim, because they're so interrelated, it's an integrated single bracha. So what would be the din over here? Would you also mention Al Ha'aretz together with the Peirot, or should you just say Al Ha'aretz? Rav Chista Omar, you say Al Ha'aretz v'Al Peiroteha. Rav Yochanan says, you say Al Ha'aretz v'Al Ha'Peirot. Rav Amram, don't think that they argue. Rav Chista, Rav Yochanan, it depends where you live. Because Rav Chista, who lived in Bavel, so he said, that's to us, in Bavel. And over there, he said, Al Peiroteha. And Rabbi Yochanan, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, said, Al Peirot. What? Matke v'Rach Bar, yes, that's crazy. I understand. They eat the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, and we say the bracha on the Eretz and on the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael. That doesn't make any sense. Sorry, you're right. It must be that everybody has got reversed over your epoch. It must be that Rav Chista, who was talking for Bavel, he said, Ala Oretz Vala Peirot, and Rabbi Yochanan, who was talking for Eretz Yisrael, he said, Ala Oretz Vala Peirot, and this indeed is the way that we are knowing today, that when we eat the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, we say Vala Peirot. You missed the Mishnah, Richie. You know what it says yesterday? Don't be the last to come into a Zoom session because people call you a poshea, beferish a gemara. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Avedimi, Mishum Rabbeinu. So the name of Rav was Rabbeinu on eggs, on any kind of meat. So first you say Shako, and in the end you say Borei Nefashot Rabot. But if you eat veggies, you don't make any bracha afterwards because they're not choshev enough. They don't give you enough sustenance. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, even on vegetables, you make a Borei Nefashot. If you drink water, water doesn't have any chashivas. You don't make any bracha afterwards. Rav Papa says, not true. You would say a Borei Nefashot after drinking water. Now, Mar Zutra used to do, like Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avodimi, that even on vegetables he wouldn't. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi went and he did like Rabbi Yitzchak, that even on veggies but not on water. And the way to remember who did what is to remember that the guy with the two names did like the guy with the one name, and the guy with the one name did like the guy with the two names. And because over here we mention the name of the father, Mar Zutra is only one, he did like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avidimi, so he did like the two. And Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, who is a two, he went like Rav Yitzchak, who is a one. Omer Rav Ashi, Ana Zimna, Dechimat Karna, Avidna Kakula. I'll tell you, when I remember, I got to admit, I don't always remember, you know. But when I remember, I do say a Borei Nefashot even after water. It's amazing to hear him talking like that. Okay. Ask the Gemara, what about the Mishnah? We learned in the Mishnah, remember we had back in Nida, we had like a whole list of things. Anything that has X has Y, but things that have Y don't necessarily have X. So one of those cases, actually this case, kosher ta'un bracha la'acharav ta'un bracha lafanav. So anything that's got a bracha after, it's got a bracha before, but there are things that have a bracha before and don't have a bracha afterwards. So what is that? Now, if you hold like Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avidimi, it's referring to veggies, okay? And if you hold according to Rabbi Yitzchak, it refers to water. Water has a bracha lefanav, doesn't have a bracha afterwards. But if you hold according to Rav Papa that even water has a bracha, so what the heck is it coming to tell us? Mitzvahs. You don't make a bracha after doing a mitzvah, do you? So that's what it's saying. Some things like mitzvahs require a bracha before, but no bracha afterwards. Well, what about if you live in Eretz Yisrael with a minigiz, the bus of the Mesachet Filayo, after taking off their tefillin? They say the bracha asher k'deshanu b'mitzvot tzivanu lishmor chukav. And the reason they say that bracha is because of the lashon of the shamarta tachuka hazot, which is a reference to tefillin, miyamim yamima, assuming it's a reference to tefillin. I mean, sometimes those who argue on the B'nai Ma'arava, they say it's not a reference to tefillin, it's a reference to the Korban Pesach, it was before. But anyway, so when they take off their tefillin at the nighttime, they say, well, we're being shemer, you're chukim, because tefillin is only a mitzvah, miyomim yamima, and therefore we're taking it off. And now that it's about time to get dark at night, so therefore they made that bracha. But anyway, so according to them, la fuke mai. But this, by the way, is why we say the uvolat zion goel, at the end of uvolat zion, we also mention the word lishmor chukecha, and only then we take off our tefillin. That is a remnant of the bracha that they used to make, the B'nai Ma'arava. Anyway, so what would it exclude? Now, obviously, as Tosis points out, it could exclude other mitzvahs. I mean, it may make a bracha after any other mitzvah, but if you want to talk about a category, what set does it exclude? It excludes reichani. We never make a bracha on after bracha. We never make after making a bracha on bisamim. Rabbi Yanai, Omar Rebbe, let me tell you something. Anything that is the size of an egg, you'd be doing better in terms of nourishment by actually eating an egg. So the beitza is tova imena, because it's got so much concentrated nourishment in it, it's better to eat the egg. When Ravin came to Bavel, he said, I can tell you something. One beta migulgalta is better than six whole kaisei of cream of wheat. You know, people love eating cream of wheat. Remember this, Richie. Whenever we got that question, do we go for the cream of wheat or do we go for the egg? Go for the egg, because one lightly cooked egg is better than six kaisei of cream of wheat. Whew. So that means that's 24 beitzim. And kiyasu revdimi amar, actually it's better. One beata megugalta is better than six of these kaisei, but if it would be completely matvi, to be completely cooked, actually a matva is roasted. I don't know like what exactly that means, how you roast an egg. I guess people put an egg on the fire, on the coals. A madvita is better than four kaisei, and a boiled egg, even though it loses a lot of its nourishment, still, what Rabbi Yanai said is still true. Anything the size of an egg, the egg itself is more nourishing than anything of the same size. Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah, even if you ate a good stew, that the din is, you would say, a birkat hamazon, if that's what you're being koveh suda on. What, there's such a thing that a stew is considered to be mazonas? Says Rav Ashi, absolutely. How about cabbage? A stalk, the stalk part of the cabbage, extremely nourishing, very, very filling. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. If that's the achalta v'savata, then that's the berachta. Turn around, Rabbi.
Demonstrate drinking not for thirst.
It said in the Gemara, ki dakirna, when I remember. Doesn't say you have to go around all the time. Tana Rabbana. If you're going to eat spleen, meat of a spleen, it's very good for your teeth, but you better watch out because it's not good for your digestion. On the other hand, you want to eat leeks. Leeks are not good for your teeth, but they're good for your digestion. If you eat stam a raw veggie, we're going to explain each one of these things. If you eat a raw veggie, it's going to turn you pale. Anything that's too small, meaning it hasn't grown to its sides, it's going to stunt your growth. So forget about those cigarettes, man. Don't eat things before they're full size. Anything which is like a nefesh thing, then you eat the whole thing whole, like a small fish, maybe a sardine, that will be meshiv as a nefesh. It gives you your life back, gives you a lot of energy. Anything that is close to the nefesh, which means close to the base hashkita, as we'll see as we had in chulin, is also restores your energy. Kruv is great for filling you up, lamazon. Beets are great because borscht, of course, heals anything you got. And oilola bayit shalefet overet betocho. And I pity the poor tummy that this guy is throwing all these leeks into, because it's really, I mean turnips into, because it's really bad news. So let's go through each one of them. Omar Mar, eating spleen is good for the teeth, but it's bad for your digestion. Okay, so how can you work it out? Simple. Chew it, spit it out. So if you chew it, you got all the good benefit for the teeth, and you don't swallow it, so you didn't kill your stomach. Mashenkein leeks, creation, are bad for this teeth, but they're good for your digestion. So how do you do that without hurting yourself? Simple. Cook them until they become so soft you can swallow them without chewing. Any veggie that's raw makes you pale. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, this is not, doesn't mean any time. It's talking about the first time you eat after having let blood. We're over there, you're very weak and so on. Starting to eat carrots at that time will make you pale. If you eat veggies before the breakfast, which is normally eaten in the fourth hour, it's usher to speak to a guy like that because he stinks. My time, mishum recha. So put him in his place. Also, is another way that Rabbi Yitzchak, you're not even allowed to eat Yerek Chai Kodamar Bashaot. It's not healthy. Now, Meimar Marzutra and Rav Ashi were once sitting, and they brought these raw veggies, and it was early in the day, before breakfast. So Ameimar and Rav Ashi ate, and Marzutra didn't eat. So Ameimar and Rav Ashi said to Marzutra, so why aren't you eating? Must be that you hold a Rav Yitzchak, who says that anybody who eats before 4 hours of the day, you're not allowed to talk to him. Ha, 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 are you talking to us? Ha, 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 ha. So apparently you're not really, you could have enjoyed your veggies, man. He says, no, it's not why I'm not eating. I'm not eating because I hold to the other Rav Yitzchak that you're killing yourself. It's unhealthy. The next thing that we said was, anything that is too small, meaning it hasn't grown up completely, it stunts your growth. Rav Chista, this is even if it's a kid, a gedi, and it's a barzuza, so it's got a lot of fat, it's got a lot of meat, but it's not grown properly. It's only if it hasn't yet gotten to 1/4 of its normal size. I will eat beiriva, then already that's enough. Kol nefesh beishiv nefesh. Rav Papa, this is even to those tiny fish that you find next to the reeds, next to Richie's house, which he's always trying to get and never manages. Those are actually also, even though they're tiny, they're meshiv nefesh. Kol ha-karov le-nefesh meshiv, it's a nefesh that refers to, Rabbi Yaakov says, to the area around the Beit HaShchita, the Unka. And in fact, Rava would tell his butler, when you go out to buy at the butcher, do me a favor, make sure that you get a piece of meat that's close to the place where you say Baruch, Bei Baruch. What's the Bei Baruch? The Beis HaShchita, where over there is where you said the bracha on the Shchita. Then we said that cabbage is good for nourishment, and beets are good for healing, which is mashmah that cabbage is not good for healing. But the problem is, Vatayna Kruv L'mazon in Refuah Lo, doesn't it say there's six things that are really great refuahs foods that are great refuahs, m'rapin et ha'kolem ha'choyo, and you can really count on their refuah, v'elohein. Kruv, first one is kruv, even before the borscht, before the trudi. Umei sisim yavesh, whatever that is, they translate it as pennyroyal, but I don't really know what that spice is. Keva, the actual keva of the animal, the womb of the animal, and the diaphragm, the yoter ha'kaved. Anyway, so how come you say that kruv is not good for refuah? I didn't mean it's not good. Ela'ema, kruv is good even, besides for refuah, it even is good nourishment. Mashenkein borscht, it may be good healing, but it certainly doesn't nourish you very much. And then you said, woe to the home that somebody's stuffing with turnips. Is that true? Didn't Rava tell his shopper? He said, let me tell you something, man. When you go into the shuk and you see turnips, don't give me a call and saying, gee, I can't find anything to eat today. What are we going to get? What are we going to have to eat? What do you mean, what are you going to have to eat? Man, there's turnip. You got your food. Omer Abaye, the price is talking about turnips that you eat without adding any meat to them. Here we're talking about adding meat. Rava says, it's talking about turnips that you don't add wine to. If you eat wine, then that's fine for turnips. Itmar, Rav also held that it meant without meat. Shmuel meant that it means without having enough fuel, without etzim. If you cook them well enough, so then they don't hurt you. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bibli Yayin. So now we have three shitas. Rava said to Rapapa, you know, Mr. Brewer, your whole life is beer, beer, beer. Look at that belly, man. So, people like us, where we eat bread, I mean, we eat turnips with butter or wine, so we don't have any problems with turnips. What do you beer bellies do that you don't have wine? All you drink is beer. What do you bust the koyach of your turnips with? Said Rav Papa to him, we use a lot of fuel, betzivi. By boiling it a lot, it breaks the dangers of the turnip. And when Rav Papa's wife used to cook them up, what she would do is after she cooked them with normally on the stove, she would bust the power tavrolam using another 80 logs to weaken the poisonous effects of the turnips. Tonarab on a dog, maliach katan. If you got a little salted fish like herring, people think herring is really very healthy. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes it's poisonous. If you eat it on the 8th day after you salt it, on the 18th day, or on the 27th day, and some say on the 23rd day, it'll kill you, man. Watch out for that herring. Look at the expiry date. But the truth is, we're talking over here about barbecued herring. Now, barbecued herring, well, we have some, actually, from the last time, we got some very good recipes for barbecued herring, honestly. And we're talking only about partially barbecued herring. If it's partially barbecued, oh my God, it'll kill you on those days. But if you barbecued it properly, mitvish shaper leslamba, and also the only problem that you'd have where it's poisonous, where you didn't cook it properly, is where you didn't drink some beer afterwards. If you got some good beer afterwards, now Rav Papa has his revenge, then we don't have any problem. Then the Mishnah said, if you drink water because you're thirsty, now why else does one drink water? What do you mean? When would I drink water that I would not say a bracha on? Om Revit Be'arovin, if you're choking, huh? What about a case where a guy's choking to death? Chanke Umtza, he's drinking water. You think he's supposed to say, shakol me a bit vera on the water? All he's trying to do is get down the piece of meat. It's Chanke Umtza. Rabbi Tarfan says, Borei nefashot rabot v'chesronan akoma shabarata. Amalei Rava Barav Chana La'abayan. How do we paskin? What bracha do we say on water up front? Do we say shahakol or do we say Borei nefashot? Amalei, he said to him, what are you asking me for, man? Go out and see every single place where you go. People make water, drink water all the time. Okay, don't come and ask me. Well, you know exactly what people do. And what do people do? You say a shakonia bitvaro before, you say a bar in the fashas after, and that's the way to do it. Hadron alach ketzad mevorchim. Oh, man. Oof. Oof. Shlosha shachluka chat chayavim lezamein. We move on tomorrow to the dinim of Zimun and Birchat HaMazon, that we've gone through all of the opening brachas and the nisach of the closing brachas.